Hey there, I'm your host, Ricky Shockley, the owner of MedSpa Magic Marketing, and this is the MedSpa Success Strategies Podcast, where MedSpa and aesthetics practice owners come to discover strategies and tactics that help them better market and manage their practices so they can grow, improve profitability, and have more financial freedom. I'm excited today to be joined by Kaylee Krasno. Kaylee earned her BS in biology from Sentary College of Louisiana, her BS in nursing from Texas Women's University, and her Master's of Science in nursing from the University of Texas at Arlington. With experience in transplant immunology research, as an elementary school science teacher, a cardiopulmonary ICU nurse, and a family nurse practitioner, Kaylee melds her creativity and love of education and medicine in her work as an aesthetics provider. Kaylee's the owner of High Finch, and the reason I wanted to have Kaylee on today is because as of this recording, her business has hundreds of perfect five-star reviews on Google. And if you're a med spa owner or a dermatologist, plastic surgeon, you know that reviews are the lifeblood of your online reputation and your ability to earn business at scale. So we talk about how Kaylee got that perfect reputation, what things she does in terms of client satisfaction to ensure that she's top-notch in terms of patient experience, and how that plays into profitability and growth. So I'm excited to jump into some of the details of how she's built her business and how she's achieved such high standards in terms of patient satisfaction. Kaylee, thanks so much for being on the podcast. We're excited to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. It's an honor.
Yeah, so we were doing some research and said let's talk to some practice owners that are knocking it out of the park with patient experience. And we're in the Nashville area, so I performed some Google searches and I found your name, and you all have perfect five-star reviews on Google with a ton of reviews. So could you just give me a little bit of your backstory and why you decided to start your practice?
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, we're really proud of those reviews. It's pretty exciting. We are very thankful for all of our patients. So my husband is my business partner. And a few years ago, we just really wanted to create a business where we value our employees above everything else. So value our employee experience above our revenue. And when you are able to show value to your employees, that means they really show value and importance and place importance on the patient experience. So we really want to make sure that we have happy employees and have a really great time at work and give our best effort. And then that shows, that just turns around and gives a really great patient experience. And so Chad and I really, you know, we wanted to be business owners at some point in our lives. And when we looked into, you know, creating a medical practice, this was something that really, being able to do injectables and make people feel good made me feel really good. And then it also makes me feel really good to make other people feel really good. So that, yeah, so that's kind of where we started.
That was like an amazing nugget out of the gate there. Honestly, like the fact that when you're talking about patient experience, the number one point of emphasis for a practice owner needs to be ensuring that your employees are happy and having a great time. Yeah. Because if that's not happening, your clients are going to feel that. They're going to feel that tension. They're going to see it on their face when they walk in, and those things start to leak over, and it inhibits your ability to create a top-tier patient experience. I've never heard someone say that. It seems so obvious now that you've said it, but I think that's an incredible nugget, because when I talk to practice owners who are struggling, a lot of the conversations that they have with us are, they're complaining about their employees. They're complaining about their staff. These people don't want to work. They've got turnover problems. And it's usually reflected in issues with reviews. That's a pretty constant connection. So as soon as you said that, I was like, wow, that's a really, really awesome insight.
Yeah. And it makes a huge difference too. I mean, in my lifestyle, I want to work in a drama-free environment. I've found that over the years of like employment as being a researcher and a teacher and a nurse and a nurse practitioner, it wasn't the work that brought me down. It was the interpersonal conflict between, you know, staff members and, you know, the stress that like a stressful working environment with that interpersonal conflict can bring. And so I really want to do something that I love, but it was being hindered by, you know, anxiety or by feeling upset or nervous to go to work just because, you know, you don't want to deal with those sorts of interpersonal dramas that working in a workplace can bring. And so we really want to make sure that we're focusing on hiring the right people that really fit in and want to be a happy member of our team. So,
yeah, that's one of our core values too. We have like a core values sheet. And I think that is so important. It's like, there could be one relationship, one person, one client, one coworker that ruins your entire week. Even if you only have like an interaction with that person on Thursday, it ruins Monday through Wednesday because you're dreading it. So I think that's a great insight too. Okay, so when you started the practice, interestingly, we had Terry Ross on the last episode. I know you all worked with Terry starting your practice. What were some of the key insights you learned when you were making the decision to start the business? How you picked a location, a name, branding? What are some of those key things that you feel like you learned out of the gate when you decided to launch?
So I'll tell you, our name came after like 10 months. Robbie from Terry's team was like, you got to pick one. You got to pick a name. And so just to start the business as a legal name. So we just combined our names, K-Cha, because it was like, she was like, you have to just start somewhere. That way it gave me a little leeway to come up with something creative that was very personal mm-hmm. to us and very unique. And something that we wanted to do was trademark our name. We thought that would be really important for our growth in the future. And so after literally almost 10 and a half months of thinking about a name. It came to me while running on my treadmill in the background here. I was sitting there and I was thinking, oh my gosh, finches are how Darwin came up with his theory of evolution. And something that has always been really important in my aesthetic practice is making sure that my patients look like themselves. I want them to fit in with their family. You and I look different because our families have different histories and come from different parts of the world. And I think that's what makes people beautiful and interesting. And so I wanted to incorporate the word finch. And then when you trademark something, you have to come up with a strange combination of words nowadays because most things have been mm-hmm. trademarked.
Yep.
And something I make a point of doing is looking people in the eye and saying hi. I'm strangers on the street. I give them a smile or a kind nod and say hi, just to acknowledge you. And I just feel like that just brings a little smile to everyone's face. So I thought it was just something that was very friendly and something that we wanted to embody as far as just kind of everything we believe in with the practice. So
that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we know it's unique and it doesn't mean much to anybody until I tell them the story, but we really like it. It makes us really happy. And so we chose to work with Terry because we really felt like she understood what we wanted to build. When we came to her with our plan of really growing a practice that has great people working with us, that we felt like we would really work together. And she really wanted us, to succeed in our own way, not a cookie cutter way, which we really loved. And so she was, her and her team were very integral in helping us set up the business. And we learned so much about, about financial projections. And that was all a learning experience. But we also learned a lot about the patient experience as far as maybe reinforcing things that we already knew, but then taking it to a different level to help our business succeed. And so that was something where I don't have a sales background. I come from research and teaching and nursing. And so I never sold anything in my life, but I sure did educate. I educated my students and I educated our patients in the hospital. And I did a lot of education when I was a primary care nurse practitioner. And so she really nailed that into us where education is a big part of the patient experience. And that goes all the way from educating, like me personally educating our team and Terry Ross's team educating our team on how to give a patient experience, but to me educating the patients on how we can help them and see the benefits of our services and things. So we learned a lot about the patient experience, but it was also neat because it felt like some of that was ingrained in Chad and I already. We just didn't really know how to bring it out, and that was something that she really helped us with.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I want to get to more of that in a second here too. And the financial part, it's the part that's so boring for most people. I'm doing our 2024 video series right now, and we're talking about financial planning related to marketing. Mm-hmm. And nobody, people kind of brush it aside, like, let's get to the goods. Like, let me get to the good stuff. But if you don't know those things and you don't have some sort of sound financial planning, you're going to set yourself up for failure. Yeah. You have to know your numbers. First of all, most of all, you're a business person. When you own a business, you have to think of yourself as a business person. And that comes with knowing your numbers, understanding financial planning, projections, and making sure that you're setting yourself up for success and profitability ultimately.
Absolutely. Like when we started, I told Terry, and we worked with Robbie very closely from her team. I didn't know what ROI meant. My only finance class was 11th grade economics. Like other than that, it was all science classes and, your basic core classes in college, but really like never took a business class. So I truly didn't know anything. One of the first books I bought was Entrepreneurs for Dummies or something like that. Like it was truly one of those things where I was like, mm-hmm. I have to learn what these little things mean. And all along the way, I had to say, will you stop and tell me what that acronym means? Because I don't understand. And so I've learned a whole lot in the past 2.5, 3 years for sure.
Yeah, that's really important though, because especially in this space, it's like people have a certain skill set, mm-hmm. right? And they, a lot of times they open a business, but not, they don't really think about the business mm-hmm. part. And that's, I think, sets you up for failure. Yeah. So I wanted to jump back and not let this slide. Yeah. So going back to the, because I had a follow-up question going back to that first thing with employees, and I didn't want to miss this. So when you talk about the environment being good and your team being happy and in a good mood at work mm-hmm. and in a good environment, what kind of things are you doing to make sure that you're setting them up for success and that you're providing that environment?
So the first thing was, you know, we wanted to talk to our employees about what they wanted to do with our business. And so like, you know, we did our one-on-ones just this past month. And for example, I spoke with my esthetician and I said, how can I help you grow? Like, what can I do for you? What education do you want? Is there a different service you want? You feel like you can offer, can I get you some classes? Who can I set you up with to be the best person that you can be? Do you want to continue being an esthetician? Like, is that something that you even want to do? Or is this something where you want to do that for the next 5 years? Or can I help you grow into something else? And so that is something where we really want to help our employees reach their potential, and we want them to grow with us. And so making sure that they know I am absolutely on their side as far as growing their careers is really important to me. And, you know, that maybe they don't want to be in the position that they're currently in 5 years from now. Maybe they want to be in a different position, but how can we help them get to that position with us? Because we love you so much and we want you to stick with us. And then always making sure that we're coming in a good mood, saying hi, asking about our night, just keeping our conversations going throughout the day to make sure that we're okay, checking in on each other personally, having a good time, going out to lunch, going out to dinner, celebrating our wins, making sure that we're helping keep each other on track as far as just honesty goes with our performance. You know, we all give each other feedback in the office, which I think is really nice. And it also helps us grow as people, you know, just even outside, to learn to communicate like that. So I think that's something that just like that constant communication is, I think, is really important, and not letting people kind of slink into the background, you know, and just come in and go about their day. You know, you're not just an esthetician or just an office manager or just a nurse practitioner. You know, we're all working together and we're all on the same team. So we want to make sure that we're all, you know, communicating about that and keeping each other honest. And yeah.
Yeah. And just kindness and respect, right? Mm-hmm. Like I can tell that's inherent in how you're dealing with your team. And practice owners listening to this, like, understand this. I see this all the time. There's a very tight correlation between the people that treat their team well and their business succeeding. It's the people that we talk to, like I said, that are complaining about their team, having turnover and retention issues. It always seems combative between the business owner and the staff. Like, you're not going to succeed. You have to have this type of relationship with your staff and with your team to be successful. So I think that's a really, really important takeaway. Yeah, thank you for
absolutely.
Sharing that.
Absolutely. And I want to tell people too, it's hard. It's hard to communicate. I don't have those hard conversations. I've never been in a management position either. My husband, he works. I mean, I think he has over 150 employees underneath him. And so he has these hard conversations. And so something that he's really helped me with is just having the hard conversations. And so when I think about having a hard conversation, it makes me queasy. I usually cry beforehand. And, you know, Chad and I will sit and talk, and I'll sit and I'll cry because I'm so uncomfortable with the thought of saying anything negative, even if it's not really negative, even if it's an opportunity for someone. I don't want anybody to feel bad or feel like I'm trying to make them feel bad. And so rehearsing that and then coming at it from an honest, kind perspective, I think is really important. And that's really helped me. And so in these past 2 months, it's been so helpful. And I feel like I've already grown a lot. Just like, I know that sounds weird, but it's been really neat to know that now I'm getting more comfortable with that. And it doesn't have to be weird and awkward and nobody has to cry. Like it, you know, mm-hmm. it's all about how I can help you and how we can work together. So
Yeah, I think that's a good instinct to have, though, to because that probably means your heart's in the right place when you have that instinct.
I hope so.
This episode is brought to you by MedSpa Magic Marketing, my agency. We help med spas and aesthetics practices grow with more effective marketing strategies. And I know that's a vague phrase, right? That's a vague claim. So I have an offer for you. I offer this to any new prospects. If you're interested in exploring any of another marketing option, a new agency, or just getting into Facebook, Instagram, Google Ads for the first time, I'd love to show you why we're different, what we're doing for clients. And we can do that via a 1.5 hour planning session where I'll outline a specific marketing plan and I'll give you all of the blueprints that we would implement if we were to do business together. Now you can take that, use that on your own, hire someone else to help you execute it, or work with us. We really don't hold anything back on that strategy call. And I think you'll have a lot of confidence in how you manage your marketing investment moving forward, understanding some of the nuances that can help you implement more effective marketing strategies for your business. So if you want to do that, you can go to medspamagicmarketing.com. All right, switching gears for a second. Talking about like when you're starting a business, I want to talk about how did you get your first 5 patients?
Word of mouth. We started our practice back in October of 2021. And I had one patient. It was my friend Leslie. And she'll be proud to tell you she was my first patient. She like supported me from the beginning when I first started injecting before we even started the practice. And she was happy to come over and be my first patient. And we had some friends come in. And then those friends told their friends and their coworkers, and they came in. And then we are very fortunate to have a really nice spot in the Nations in West Nashville. And it's a really tight knit community. I feel like if you live in Nashville, you know, the 12 South area and Mount Juliet is your area, or West Nashville is your area, or East Nashville is your area. And I feel like the people who live in those areas really want to support those little small local businesses. And so we also sent out mailers the week before we opened just to let people know. And so we had a couple people come in from that. And we had our Google business page set up. So that was something that was really important. That was something that we did like when our website launched, was like getting that Google business page out there. And then actually we had a really big grand opening party in December of that year. And we got a couple local businesses and the our Nation's neighborhood Instagram to post about that. Just had a really great turnout, and it just kind of has really grown from there. But I would say word of mouth is our big, Google and word of mouth is probably our biggest.
Say Google is basically an online extension of word of mouth, yeah. Right? In a way.
Yeah.
It really is. So to get from 5, my next question was going to be, how did you get from 5 to 50? But it sounds like it's a combination of word of mouth and people finding you on Google because you've got a great reputation that you're building. And yep. That's kind of how it's gone since.
Yeah.
And I think that's the reality of anything that you're doing to try to grow your business, is you're planting seeds, mm-hmm. but you had those other things dialed in. So when those first 5, those first 20, those first 50 people came in, they had great things to say about you. And it's not good things. It's not okay things. They had great things to say about
you. We're so lucky.
And that is how you grow a successful med spa. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to be doing a great job on the back end with how you're dealing with clients. Mm-hmm. I always say this with marketing, is like, good marketing makes a bad product fail faster. It's true in the med spa space too. If you're just spending a bunch of money to get clients to come in the door that aren't really that impressed, mm-hmm. and then they go to your competitor down the street next month or next quarter, you're not setting yourself up for success. So retention is based on patient experience, mm-hmm. and there are a lot of people doing a pretty good job. So you probably have competitors that are also doing a good job. You
have to
try to be elite in that area, or you're going to struggle long term. So I think that's a really important takeaway too.
Yeah.
Going into the consultation process. So you mentioned that when you worked with Terry, that's one of the things you all focused mm-hmm. on, was the educational mm-hmm. component when you're dealing with a new client, new patient. How does that work? What does that first visit with a patient typically look like? I think you said you all require basically a consultation as like the initial step. Even if they're going to get a service done that day, you're still doing the consult.
Yeah. And that is just really, you know, we really ensure patient safety at our office. You know, we have them fill out their patient intake forms, which includes their medical history. And so that's something I let the patients know that I'm going over to ensure that the treatments are absolutely right for them and safe. You know, because someone may want Botox, but it may not be for something we can treat with Botox, or they may want a broadband light treatment, a BBL treatment, but maybe they don't have something that is really the best, you know, the best maybe BBL is not the best solution for that treatment. So really talking through our services and educating them on what we do and how we can help them in the best possible way is really important to me. And so I really want to talk through and learn what their goals are, learn what their timeline is. And that gives me the opportunity to really educate about what we do. And, you know, we just had a patient the other day who came in for a consultation for hair removal. And I noticed that she had other concerns. And I said, well, we do, you know, Botox and fillers and this and that. So I said, if you have any questions, she goes, wait, you do that too? And I thought, well, yeah, you found us. Like you didn't look at the website or maybe mm-hmm. they were just so hyper focused on the hair removal, you know, portion of it that they didn't think to look. And they're like, well, yeah, I just moved to town. I need all those things too. And so that was something where it really gives the patient the opportunity to see what you offer and how you can really help them, you know, with their just overall goals. And then the other thing that I also let them know is sometimes we don't have services that can help them. Sometimes they need a higher level of care. And I know some great providers in the area that I happily refer to. And that keeps my patients coming back too, because they know I'm not going to try to do something that's out of my scope or try to do something with a device that I have that's not going to give them top-notch results. And so that also really builds trust. So that first consultation is really about building trust.
Yeah, absolutely. And this just came to my mind when we talk about being a medical spa. Just focus on the word medical for a second. When you go to your doctor, you don't say, I have this problem, prescribe me this drug.
Right.
You go with maybe an idea, and then you talk to your doctor, and you're always doing a consultation with your doctor and exploring options to make sure that that thing is your best up. And I think some people in the space, they might get into the habit of just like, hey, I'm running a promo on Botox, get people in the door, just give them the Botox and that's it. But that educational component in the consultation is really important, not just because it's a sales mm-hmm. opportunity, but it's an opportunity to make sure the client's actually getting what they need. Yeah. As opposed to just rubber stamping whatever their request was. Yeah. So it's a win-win for both the patient and the provider, I think, in that case.
Absolutely. And I think that's something that I also take very seriously is the consent process and educating about the treatment that they're getting. You know, it's a medical treatment. You need their full consent. So you do need to explain what the treatment is and what's going on. And, you know, I had my appendix out 3 years ago and they said the great thing, I'm going to get my appendix out. The bad things, I could die, you know, like, and that's huge. And that's scary to talk about, but those are things you have to say, all the good things that can come from the treatment, but you also have to talk about the bad things and talk about why the treatment works the way it does. And a lot of times that education really helps the patient understand and helps them make the decision to proceed. More often than not, they go with the treatment because of that education, because they didn't understand what was going on or what the treatment was. And then they understand it and they say, oh, well, that is what I want. Like that. Yeah, that sounds okay. Like, or that is exactly what I needed. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. In terms of the consultation, so you're the one doing all the consultations currently,
correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Have you thought into the future? Because I think this is a part that I've seen some people struggle with, is once you have to start allowing other people to do the consultation, making sure that that level of service and expertise and education is still happening mm-hmm. when you bring other people into the fold to do that for mm-hmm. you. Do you have any plans in the works on that? Can you speak to those if so?
So that is something where we will definitely continue to use Terry Ross's team, because I think, you know, I would love to be an expert in that regard, as far as that educating the practice and the providers on the service side. And, you know, I do plan on having my new provider shadow and spend time with me. And I plan on, like, in the future, I plan on shadowing them when we start hiring. But I think utilizing Terry's education and the APX platform to help train our new providers is going to be really important. But I think shadowing and working with our current providers, like working with Elisa and Lauren, my office manager, and my esthetician, because they really are now the experts in that patient experience, really utilizing them as well to ensure that our new providers know how we want to treat the patient and can see that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's trying to figure out how to get your instincts in onto someone else. And that's really one of the things we've been working on is like the concept of SOPs, right? Yeah. Having a standard operating procedure. These are the steps that we go through. And it sounds like that's kind of what you all have been working on just in general.
Yeah. And something that that also I think makes a big difference, and Chad has said this in the past, is you can teach skill, but you can't teach will. So making sure that you're hiring the right people who want to be there and who want to be a part of the team and who want to help grow your business so that they can be successful as well is really important. So really making sure, I think it really starts with just the hiring process before you even get them in a patient room, to ensure that they have the right personality to fit in with your practice. So
that will be the perfect short. So we'll definitely click that last one out. Switching gears again, going into the Google reviews and back to the conversation about reputation. So you mentioned that was an emphasis out of the gate.
Absolutely.
You and your husband kind of knew that that was going to be really important. So what were you all doing and what are you doing to get reviews, to ask for reviews? What type of language are you using? Any sort of systems, processes, tools?
So I don't know that it's necessarily a system, but I guess it has become a pretty good habit of ours to make sure that we're asking for the review. And it takes a little time. You know, you can't see someone for Botox, do their injections, and then maybe never do a follow-up and never see them again and ask for a review. You have to see them back for their follow-up, and you have to tweak their results possibly. And then you have to see them back in 3 or 4 months again to, you know, to see how they liked their treatment and see. So before we ever ask for a Google review, we have to know that we've done everything we can to ensure that the patient has received their ultimate service and their ultimate results. And it also takes a little bit of boldness to ask for a Google review, you know, because you're asking then the patient to do something for you. And it was uncomfortable at first, but something that we've really found is when we come back and we get to talk with the patients and talk about their experience and their results, and we hear how happy they are, I jump on that and I say, well, oh my gosh, that I'm so glad. Like, obviously I'm so happy that you love your results. It would be the nicest thing if you could write us a Google review, like stating those things. And, you know, 'cause you just said some wonderful things, and Google is how most people find us, and they do read our reviews. And so, that is just a huge favor to us to help us grow our business. And, everybody's like, absolutely. So yeah, it's been.
Yep. And I think that's one of the things we always say, the word favor, making sure that you understand you're asking your patient for a favor.
Yeah, it really and is. It's work on them, and they have to remember it. They have to do it. They have to think of something to write. You know, most people don't most people go home and they think about something bad to write when they have to write a Google review. Like, you know, they don't think to go home and just be like, you know what, I'm going to write them a Google review. They're really nice. Mm-hmm. Usually it's because they're mad. So, you know, we're asking them to put a little work into it. And our patients are so thoughtful, and they write down the things that they say to us in person. And it's really, really sweet. So.
And quick note there, the extra benefit of that, and when they're talking about, when they're writing a review that's not super generic and they're actually giving a little bit of info about what they had done and their experience, that helps you in a way in the Google algorithms, because those words are picked up in relation to a given search query.
Yeah.
So if people are mentioning certain things in their reviews, then Google uses that as one data point to say, maybe we want to consider them as a more prominent ranking result in the map section of the search results for whatever the query was. So
cool.
I think that's important too. For context, everyone, Kaylee and her team, they have over 200 perfect 5-star reviews as of right now.
Now,
inevitably, we're all going to get the one bad one. I think it's inevitable for most of us that when you're in business for a long time. But one of the things we talked about on our preliminary conversation was the concept of if we get someone who's not thrilled, and understanding that we need to do what we need to do to make that person happy so that we don't get that bad review. Whatever the short-term loss is to make someone happy is way more than worth it, to make sure that when people are looking at options and reviewing different practices in the area, that they're not seeing that bad review. Because that one bad review can plant a seed of doubt in patients for months and years to come.
Absolutely.
So can you talk about like just the thought process behind making sure that your patients are satisfied and that you're not letting those things happen or trying to avoid them if you possibly can?
Yeah, absolutely. And that really starts with the education process, knowing that nothing, you know, that we are human beings practicing. And this is something where I tell them I do constant, ongoing, continuing education. I'm doing everything I can to give you the very best results. But I also tell them, if something goes wrong, this is how I can help you fix it. So these are the things that could potentially go wrong, because we have to talk about those whenever we talk about any medical procedure. But I also don't want you to worry, because I do have things that can help take care of those issues. So I am here for you. I want to do everything perfect. I'm going to try everything as best as I can. But for some reason, knock on wood always, I always do that. If something were to go wrong, I'm going to see you back in 2 weeks. We're going to talk it through. And these are the ways I can help you fix it. So I don't want you to stress. So I always try to make sure that I'm really educating the patient on all the great things, all the bad things, but also how I am going to do everything I can to make sure you're still getting a fabulous experience, even if something wasn't exactly perfect as you wanted it to be. And then, you know, sometimes you do have someone who comes in upset, and, you know, that's another thing where we go back and we educate on what we talked about. And it's okay. I'm still going to help you. You know, I'm not leaving you in the dust like this. You're still coming in. I'm still here for you. And so, you know, sometimes reminding them of a conversation that you've had about all of that education, they can be like, oh yeah, you did say that. Okay. So we can do this now though to fix this. And then, yep. Okay, great. Like then they're back on the trust train, and it all works out. So.
So you're kind of setting up the expectation on both ends up front. Hey, here's what we're planning to do. Here are the potential things that can go mm-hmm. wrong. And if they do, here's what we're going to do about it. So you're kind of blanketing it where people are going to feel pretty comfortable mm-hmm. that they're not just going to come in that one time for that appointment and then kind of be lost and left, you know, left out to dry. Yeah. So I love that. You're making people feel comfortable that they're going to be taken care of at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
I think that again goes back to patient experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. This has been amazing, by the way. I feel like we've got a bunch of amazing nuggets. My last question would be, going back now to 2021 when you started, if you could give yourself advice, what would you do different looking back the last 2 years? Anything that you can think of?
That's really tough. I'm trying not to say too much. That's really tough, but I like to say when I'm thinking. I think it's really that's a tough question. I think that I know I'm not trying to pander because we're on a marketing podcast, but I really think figuring out where to put your marketing dollars is really tough. And we have all of these things where you're like, okay, we've set you up. You have $1,000 a month for marketing or $10,000 a month for marketing, wherever your business is at. But what does that mean? You know, like, what is that? Like, are you paying influencers? Are you paying SEO marketing? Are you putting that into advertising? Do you advertise with a magazine? Those are little things that we didn't really think about. We're like, oh, we are going to spend $1,500 on marketing.
Yeah.
And
back to the financials, like that, it's a whole other component of just the financials of marketing.
Yeah. And so I think that is something where I felt like the business side of it, because we have a nice bookkeeper, and they go through our financials with us, and they explain things, and they've been really wonderful all along the way. And then Terry's team was setting us up. I felt like I could learn that sort of stuff, but I think there was some more learning as far as marketing and understanding digital marketing and print marketing and that sort of thing, where you're going to see like more new patients coming in, where to spend your time. I think that was something where we could have educated ourselves a little bit more. And we're doing that along the way, and we've learned a lot in the past couple months, but that is something that
I would say that's a convenient problem to have though, because again, it's easy, because I think when you like talk about marketing, it's putting fuel on the fire of an already successful business or a business that's already operating well. And like, that's the most important part to have down. And I think the things we talked about in terms of patient experience, making sure that the patient experience is producing word of mouth referrals and that word of mouth referrals are reflected in third party data based in our Google reviews, what people are seeing about us online. I just don't think there's anything that can replicate how important that is. There's nothing that I think is close to that. And going back to the beginning of our conversation, knowing that that's kind of predicated on having a team that's happy with their work environment, happy with their growth path, and are in a good mood to be at work. That's kind of a necessity to make sure that your patient experience is top notch.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that could have been something that could have been a real struggle, but I feel like we're very lucky. And I know Chad, like I say this, I'm so lucky to have Chad as my business partner because he's the best boss. I mean, I watch him and how he communicates with his employees, and he just gets the nicest texts and the nicest cards in the mail and the nicest phone calls. And so he has really helped me to be a, like, to be able to be that kind of boss, or hopefully grow into that kind of boss. And so I do feel like that's something that we have on our side, is that sort of background. And he also does have the operations side. He manages, you know, $200 million plus of revenue every year, as far as all of his, all of the business that he manages. So that is something where I feel like I did have him a lot on our side. So, and like with the Google reviews, that's what his company relies on. And so he was really good about educating us on that too, which has been so helpful.
Yeah. Well, Kaylee, that was an amazing interview. I really appreciate your time. We'll have to do it again sometime soon.
I look forward to it. I really appreciate you having me on. It's really flattering for sure.
Thank you. Thanks everyone for tuning in. This podcast is a production of MedSpa Magic Marketing. If your med spa or aesthetic practice is in need of digital marketing services, help with advertising on Facebook, Instagram, Google, lead generation, and booking more appointments, please visit medspamagicmarketing.com.